The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the clubs at Houston Oaks. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here live at Houston Oaks, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance out here live, talking a lot of golf this morning and a lot of Astros and a lot of Texans. And you're more than welcome to get in and ask us what if you want to know who's playing where or what. You're more than welcome. Gilbert called us this morning, wanted to know the Astros schedule, so that set the tone. Anybody that has a schedule question, you're more than welcome. And this segment is brought to you by Damaris' Smoked Wings, perfectly smoked, tender and juicy. They're going to knock your socks off. If you're looking for great smoked, I like the Greek wings. I like the Greek fried wings. Those are my favorite. Some of my favorite in this city, as a matter of fact. So you do whatever you like. If you want the smoked wings, more than welcome. I get the Greek, and I get the Greek fries with them. So we were talking about the Texans, and there was a lot of talk about Christian Harris this morning in the paper and Christian Harris and looking at his mistakes as a rookie. What do you expect out of Christian Harris this year?
I expect Christian Harris to play faster. Last year, you know, Christian was a guy at Alabama who was a hard hitter and was fast, but he wasn't always instinctive and didn't always have his run fits, you know, and it kind of stands out when you're looking at teams like Alabama and Georgia are pretty technically sound, the players are, and so when Christian Harris wasn't in the right place, it kind of stands out because, you know, you typically are in your right run fits. And so I think that's going to be an issue for him as an NFL player. I'm not sure he's the most instinctive or his football IQ is always honed up where he's anticipating. But I don't think there's any question that playing in a defense where he starts to, you know, he starts to recognize blocking schemes and things like that, he should play faster. So I think he'll be thinking less and reacting more, which will allow him to really activate his speed. I think it helps having a guy like Denzel Perryman next to you who can take on blocks and be a banger and who's a veteran starter who can, you know, help guide you. And so I expect him to be better. I think the tackle count will go up for him. It wouldn't shock me if Christian Harris led the Texans in tackles.
Right.
To be honest with you, yeah, because he can go sideline to sideline.
It's better than Jalen Petrie leading them in tackles. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, but you're probably right. I mean, Petrie is a guy who plays near the box too.
Yeah.
So Petrie actually may lead the team, and he's got a nose for the football. So him leading it in tackles, it's not as bad as if his average depth of his ADOT, his average depth of tackle is more like, instead of being like, you know, 6.6 or whatever it is, it's more like 4.2.
Yeah, no.
You know, if that average depth of tackle is less, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Safeties who play near the box, they're like added linebackers with speed, and he's got a nose for the football, so he's always going to be high on the tackle count.
Absolutely. J.J. Watt was out at the facility.
Why do people act like he's back? J.J.'s back.
But
he's just going into the Ring of Honor. Like, he's not coaching. He's not – I've seen it positioned by people. Is it just that he came back for – am I missing something? Is he doing something with the Texans?
Well, no. I mean, he's going to be honored right. by the team. He said no one-day deals. He's not going to do a one-day deal with the Texans. He's back in the city. I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
I guess.
But he's being honored.
It's great to be back. Every time we're here, our family loves it, and people take us in.
He's still got his home here, and
you think?
I think probably.
Why?
Because he's got so much money, he's probably still got his home here. He doesn't need to sell it right away. He's not like us, where if we go somewhere else, we have to sell it right away.
But why would you want it open? It's probably not easy to rent his house out.
Well, he's not renting his house out.
Well, why are you just leaving it open? You don't like money?
No, he could close it up and until he comes back.
Have you ever seen our property taxes?
Yeah. You know,
that's why you sell it.
You ever see JJ's contract?
Yeah, but why would you just keep it open when you have these property taxes raining hell on you?
Because you have an asset that goes up when the economy goes up.
He doesn't need assets.
Oh, JJ, you know what? You know why he's rich? Because he has assets.
I bet he's sold and they're in an Airbnb right now. Or maybe he's got Marriott points.
Maybe.
Maybe
I don't know.
Like he's just like us. Hey, you know what? I got a free Marriott room. I got enough points to get a room over here. Not in the Galleria. I don't want to get shot at. But.
So there was this funny you know, Mark Berman retired. I don't know if you heard.
Uh-huh.
Mark Berman retired the other day.
Officially.
Officially. June 12th was his last day. And I think JJ knew that. So here is... I guess the initial question to JJ is he throws it out to the media yesterday. It's the first one with JJ Watt. It says the funny one. Okay? Here is JJ Watt.
Every single time I step foot in the city of Houston, it feels like I'm surrounded by my family. And it's special for me. So to have my actual family there on that day playing against TJ and the Steelers will be great. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to get back in front of that crowd.
Yeah, that wasn't it. That wasn't that funny. That wasn't funny.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's a knee slapper.
His computer's frozen. So that was – you know what? Hey, JJ feels like Houston's family, and that's great. That is great.
Are you I saw a headline, you know, typical clickbait new media headline. J.J. Watt returns back home after messy breakup. And I was trying to remember. Wait a minute.
It was a little messy. Well, they let him go. I don't know. It wasn't nearly as messy as DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
That's for sure.
That was a messy. But was J.J. Watt, was it a messy breakup? I didn't feel it was.
Actually, we all thought, what are you doing? You're just letting him go as opposed to getting a fourth or a fifth rounder for
yeah.
him.
I had to go back and think, like, was this messy? I don't remember it being messy.
No, but maybe... Maybe he was disenchanted with the organization at the time, and
he didn't say anything bad about the ownership.
No.
Say anything bad
not
about
like
the coach.
How about DeAndre Hopkins going to talk to the Patriots when Bill O'Brien, when he left, his exit interview was, "Yeah, your baby mamas, we really don't need them around. You know what? We don't love that. Your baby mamas around."
Yes,
here.
Supposedly. Well,
and he compared him to Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, and there was some other stuff too. So.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that didn't get out there, and
no.
I can tell you. Now, I think I had read before that they had been in contact with each other after that, and had kind of squashed some of the stuff. So it may not be an issue. And ultimately, I mean, you're the play caller, but Bill Belichick runs that team without
no question. But you're going to have to work with Bill O'Brien all year.
Yeah, but you know, OB can turn on the hey, D Hop, man, that's D Hop. I love me some D-Hop, yeah. You know, he'll do his little thing, whatever he's got to do, because if Hopkins can help them win, he can help them win.
And Rick Ross, he'll probably, that'll get them together.
Nah, he can't. Bill's not allowed to talk anymore during practice. He goes from, you know what his punishment was for being an a-hole to so many
Nick
people?
Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
You get Saban and Belichick.
Yep.
This is where you get to go.
All right, here's that J.J. Watt starting the press conference.
I was going to give Mark Berman the first question, and then he just retired last night instead of tonight. So
you'd have to find him at City Hall where he's getting honored by the mayor and city council right now. So how are you, JJ?
I'm good. Are you allowed to still be a reporter and ask questions when your name is on like the Hall of Fame reporters wall at the stadium? I thought you retired too, John. What happened?
I was in demand, so I had to come back. I made JJ Watt type money.
Oh, that's I don't make any money anymore, so I hope you're making more than me.
He is, probably. But good question by JJ. John McClain. How about John McClain? Yeah, he is. He's out there. He's covering the Texans all. I mean, it's just like, what? I thought you quit. I thought you retired. I'm not going to do like John McClain.
But hold on. I thought Mac was shutting down his site. Maybe
he did
still
shut
going
it down.
Then who's McClain?
I don't. He's working for somebody else. I don't. 610? He's doing Texans radio. He's still doing 610 radio.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for John. I would say.
See, I'm going to do it different. You ain't going to see me.
No. I know you're going to do it different.
You ain't going to see me.
You won't see me either.
Unless you're here at Houston Oaks.
I got a question for you. So Mark Berman, Mark Berman's been doing this for a while, since the 80s. So Mark's been around for a long time and done a great job. He's been incredible. John McClain gets a lot of love. He's been around doing this a long time. And they've been acclaimed. You know, I want to know where our acclaim and where are our trophies?
Our trophies?
Where are our special days?
I don't have any.
Where are our are we in the Texas Hall of Fame radio or Texas Radio Hall of Fame or whatever?
Where are we with our
championship belts? Where are we with our proclamation of John and Lance Day? Yeah, but this is one of the great travesties of Houston sports. We should have our own day, our own roads, be given checks or cash of some sort.
Yeah, no. I believe in that.
Yeah. Where is all this?
Maybe they'll give
people
us a,
don't.
David Kyle's going to give us a big check to walk
other
away.
Other media members don't say good things about us on Twitter.
No, nobody does.
Never.
You know,
we've always been the black sheep of Houston Sports Talk Radio. No. I remember when Kenny Ham was bad-mouthed to me when he was secretly, when he was doing the afternoon show at 6:10 and we're in the morning show like, what the hell?
Oh, no.
Lance doesn't even know hockey. Like, what? He actually told somebody that.
Which is true. Is that false?
No, I knew hockey. I've been doing the show with you. Moose Morissette and Arrows, remember?
I know you. Oh, we did. We did a lot of Moose
Morissette. So I knew a lot of hockey.
By
the way, I had played a ton of NHL 92. I knew every single hockey lineup you could imagine back then.
You do know Windows and Siding. I know that.
I do because I know the good people over at Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding do a phenomenal job of adding to the energy efficiency. And, you're going to be tested now. You are going to be tested at your home because at Allstate Windows and Siding, you got an opportunity to increase the energy efficiency by up to 40%, up to 40% with new windows. And new siding. You can get both. But, you know, when you have new windows from Allstate Windows and Siding, it seals up the areas where hot air and humidity can leak in and your air conditioning leaks out. And that's one of the number one culprits to not feeling as comfortable in your home and having an AC that runs nonstop over and over and over. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. They got deep discounts on windows right now. You can ask about what their summer special is. But make sure you tell them you're an ESPN 97.5 listener because you're going to get a better deal than everyone else out there. And on top of that, their siding deals, they have a big discount when you get complete siding jobs done. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936.
ESPN 97.5.com. Sports Scooby Snacks.
No one seems to be here, Scoob. And by the looks of this pad, I don't blame them.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Clubs at Houston Oaks, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Mark Hubbard, who, man, we can't be happier watching him play lately. He is just playing his ass off. Tied for sixth at the RBC Canadian Open this past weekend. He had a ninth place finish at the Charles Schwab. Six straight cuts. He's piling up some money now on the tour, playing great golf, and he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, welcome in. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Man, so I don't want to say what's changed, but, dude, you are really playing well. Is there anything different going on these last six tournaments that you're up there making cuts and making money and just playing great?
Yeah, I started working with a new coach back in like February-ish during the West Coast swing. And it's been great, but like anything, you know, there's a learning curve and stuff takes time to kind of click. You know, when you figure out what you're doing and where you need to go, that's great, but it still has to, you know, it takes a while for it to come naturally. And when you're under the gun out there, sometimes you revert to past, bad tendencies. But yeah, it's just taking a little bit of time. But it is starting to click now and it feels great.
Well, I see it. I don't know, because we talked to you. We had you on Charlie Epps' show before, and you said, you know what, I'm not as long as these guys, and yet I'm watching you on Saturday on 12. You're up there in two, eagling the par five when Rory didn't make his putt. You made yours. Do you have some newfound length that's come about lately?
Yeah, definitely. And don't get me wrong, I was 50 behind Rory all weekend. So I'm still not one of the longer guys, but I have gotten some length. You know, I'm moving a lot better and loading and unloading more athletically, I would say, and that's definitely brought some length.
Good stuff. Mark Hubbard with us here. Outplayed Rory over the weekend. You played with him Saturday, and then you ended up with him on Sunday as well. What's that experience like? Because he's so beloved out there. Is it tough to play? You were up to the task for sure.
Yeah, I had played with him before, but never in a setting quite like that. You know, him being the two-time defending champ, he definitely had a ton of support and a ton of following. There were certainly times on Saturday that was probably the biggest crowd I had played in front of. But yeah, it was cool for me to be in that and play really well and know that I can do that. And I think if anything, you know, that was my fourth tournament in a row. It's been a pretty tough schedule with, you know, a lot of really hard courses, and I was pretty tired, and I think that kind of experience and having those fans and all that energy actually helped me play better and kind of, you know, dig deep and find that extra energy. So,
yeah, I mean, and you played great. We were rooting for you. Just great stuff watching you toe-to-toe with Rory and actually outplaying him over the weekend. That is awesome. That's got to give you some confidence going forward. And, you know, you're not in the field this week at the U.S. Open, but you played the PGA Championship. What was that experience like, and what does that carry over towards future majors?
Yeah, I mean, Oak Hill was insane. It was definitely the hardest course I've ever played. It seems like one of those courses that they didn't really even have to do too much to get it major championship ready. It just naturally is that brutal. But, you know, I played pretty well the first round and did make the cut. And just kind of, you know, playing the way you have to play in majors, you know, being conservative, being patient. I think some of that patience definitely has bled over in the last couple of weeks because the courses we've been playing, you know, they're not necessarily majors, but they're pretty challenging. Memorial is always a huge test, and last week the rough was up. So I think that patience has definitely helped me a lot. And I'm not super bummed. I'm not playing at LACC. It looks like it's going to be absolute carnage there. And next week is the Travelers Championship in Connecticut, which has historically been one of my best events and also probably my favorite on tour. So I kind of want to go into that one rested anyways. So it's not the worst thing that I'm not getting my head kicked in at LACC.
It does look tough. 290-yard par 3, 284-yard par 3. Is that just ridiculous?
Yeah, it is, and as tough as those par threes are, and as daunting as those numbers are, I promise you, there's some par fours that are even worse. There's a couple. There's one on the back nine. I don't know, probably around like 13, something around there. But it's the struggle for me to even get to the fairway. It's from that back tee box that they added. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Let's talk about what's going on in golf. You're out there on the tour. So much controversy. Jay Monahan actually has taken a leave of absence, a medical leave of absence. Such a huge announcement. I think it blindsided everybody. What was your initial reaction, and what are you thinking about now with the alleged merger?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've kind of tried to stay out of it and not focus on it, put too much energy into it, because, frankly, so much of it is out of my control. You know, I have been playing really well, but I, you know, still, you know, I'm not a Jordan Spieth, I'm not a Roy McIlroy. So from the tour's point of view, you know, I don't really move the needle, so I'm not privy to a lot of the information and definitely not any of the decision-making process. So for me, you know, if I can't control it, why waste energy on it? I need all the energy I can to go out and compete every week and worry about the things that I can control. So I keep playing well and keep making money to put my two daughters through college someday. So I have definitely tried to stay out of it, but it has been, you know, interesting to watch from the sidelines. And, you know, it's tough because a lot of us did stay and make the decision to be loyal to the tour. And it seems like, you know, those guys that didn't are eventually going to be back out here anyways. And that's a little frustrating, but at the same time, you know, I think it is good for the game of golf and good for the fans. At the end of the day, that's what everybody wants, is just to see all the best players playing together again. So, I definitely have a lot of mixed feelings about it.
Mark Hubbard, who is playing his ass off right now on the PGA Tour with a tie for 6th, tie for 9th, a tie for 11th at the Heritage, picking up some paychecks now, too. That's got to be nice, huh?
Yeah. I mean, again, yeah, the changes we made, you know, not related to the two tours merging, but the changes we made kind of in response, you know, I would say definitely widens the gap between the top guys and the rest of the guys trying to make a living out there. But with anything like that, if you play better, there's a lot of upside. And I've definitely taken advantage of some of that trickle-down money for sure. And if I keep playing the way I'm playing, you know, I could potentially be in the top 30, top 50 next year and be playing in all those elevated events. So as much as, you know, again, a lot of the changes were out of my control, all you can do is control what you can, and that's, for me, that's playing as good as I can and working really hard, and maybe I'll get myself into that elevated status.
Well, right now you're 56 in the FedEx Cup, which you got to be top 70. That's got to feel good, huh?
Yeah, the top 70 keep their cards, but the top 50 is really the one that you want to get in to secure those elevated events next year. Obviously, there's a lot of tournaments left, and then once you get to the playoffs and all the FedEx Cup points, you know, start to double and triple, it just gets that much more important. But, yeah, I'm out and just want to keep the momentum going.
Oh, absolutely. Mark Hubbard with us here on ESPN 97.5. Who do you hang out with out there on the tour?
Joel Damon's probably my best friend, and Ryan Brehm. That's kind of our crew. We stayed together at Memorial a couple weeks ago, and Ryan Brehm's wife, Chelsea, is one of my wife's best friends, and we'll hopefully get up to Michigan and see them during the Detroit event. But honestly, you know, it's a pretty close-knit group out there. There's not a lot of bad eggs. Everyone kind of gets along, and you kind of randomly develop friends. A lot of it is our lockers are alphabetized, so it's kind of who's close to you in name. So, for example, a guy like Harry Higgs I see almost every day because their lockers are next to each other. And, yeah, so you just start to make friendships in weird ways like that. But for the most part, everybody's great out there.
The big rig. You got when you want to go to dinner with him, that's for sure.
He's a lot of fun.
No question.
And he's actually the one who introduced me to my new coach. So it's his coach as well. So we've kind of bonded over that too.
That's great. Who is that coach? Who's your coach that's helping you out?
His name is Corey Lundberg. He's up at Trinity Forest in Dallas.
Nice. Well, man, congratulations. Whatever he's doing with you, it is just awesome to watch, Mark. You're playing great, and that is just awesome. Golf has been forefront in a lot of headlines lately, not all for the great reasons. Did you stick around for Nick Taylor's win? Because that was just crazed. How good was that?
I did, yeah. Me and Nick aren't super close, but we do go way back. We played together against each other in college, and we played together on the Canadian Tour when we were first starting out as pros, and it was so awesome to see him doing well. Obviously, there was a point in the round on Sunday when both me and Rory knew that we weren't going to win, and, you know, you still want to try and birdie every hole and place as high as you can, but it was pretty awesome being a part of that experience and hearing the roars from Nick Taylor making putts, especially the one he made on 18, and yeah, it was just really cool to be a part of. And I went out and celebrated a little bit with him on Sunday night. And I think my wife would agree, I probably celebrated a little too hard.
Good. Well, you got the week off, so you got plenty of time to recover. And you didn't get tackled on the green, did you? You didn't.
I did not. That was pretty incredible. That was quite the hit.
That dude, that security guard, he could tackle. No, he had great form. No question about it.
He's been training his whole life for that moment.
It's a good thing he didn't hurt Adam Hadwin. That would have, you know, especially this week at the U.S. Open, that'd have been catastrophic for him. But Hadwin, he's a slight guy. Taking that hit was pretty good. I mean, we know he's tough. We know that now about Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, you know, the Canadians.
They could take one. There's no question about that. That's Mark Hubbard right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, great playing, man. Great to watch you. Houston, keep an eye on this guy. He is up and coming, and he is playing great right now. So we're rooting for you. Thanks for joining us, Mark. Great stuff and continued success out there.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for all the support.
All right, man. That is Mark Hubbard with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. Taking a break, John Daspit. He's good stuff, too.
John Daspit is. He is staying busy, man. He is. He's a guy that stays busy, but he's not too busy to handle your case, and that's because he's not a one-man show. He has, I don't know, the last I heard, I think his lawyer count was up in the 80s. He's got 10 different offices around Houston, opening up in Arkansas, going to be opening up in Georgia. He is someone who continues to expand because – you know, he's very successful, highly successful. He is good at winning. When it comes to taking care of people who've been injured, what he does is step up and he fights the good fight for you. He understands what goes into people who have been injured, you know, what you're going through, hospital bills, missing time at work, physical therapy costs. Many times physical therapy will go on sometime indefinitely for people who have been hurt badly. I saw a guy over at Plex who has a really bad knee where I've had physical therapy, and is from a car wreck from a few years ago, and it's just never going to get better. They're just trying to manage it. Well, that's why you've got to have somebody who gets you the compensation that you deserve for their negligence, and someone who can help you pay for your bills and that compensates you for your pain and suffering, and that's what John Daspit's going to do. He fights passionately, pursues justice for the injured, and he will do the same thing for you. John Daspit is ready to help you out. If you or someone you know needs help, he's the guy to call. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. And you can go to the website to learn more information or to set up your consultation as well at Daspit Law, DASPITlaw.com.
ESPN 97.5, you've chosen wisely.
Do you want to know what it is?
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Clubs at Houston Oaks, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you at 713-780-3776. Kelly Eco put out some tweets.
I feel like we need to be talking more Rockets because this is a massive offseason. While we're disappointed with not getting the first, second, or third pick, I'm disappointed with that. But you're disappointed with that? Well, not getting the first pick, frankly. But they got a lot of money to spend, and there's some free agents who are going to make the Rockets are going to get better this year.
Yeah, I got a little insight. You know, Cam Whitmore works out here, the Villanova wing player. Uh-huh. He works out here, so it'll be interesting to see. And I think they like him. They need a scorer. Osser and Amen are great athletes. I don't know that they put the ball in the hole enough, especially at the number four pick. I think you got to get somebody that's going to be able to fill it up. Whitmore only averaged 12.5 points a game, but that really doesn't matter. It's how he shoots. It's you know, the kind of shooter that he is.
Creator, he's, shooter, you look for
college,
guys.
College, you're not going to get, yeah. I mean, look at Jairus Walker. You know, he was a 12-point a game guy, but they play a different style, you know?
It's less about your style. It's more about what you can do, but what you have the potential to do. But you know, the free agency, I think, is the one that's really exciting because we are seeing names. There's a list of I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I hung on to it. Did you see the list of free agency, where they go in basketball? I thought this was pretty interesting. Fred VanVleet. Phoenix is 3-1. Houston's 4-1. They're next up. They're second on the Fred VanVleet list. Russell Westbrook actually hit the board for the Rockets at 10-1.
No.
At 10-1, but he's a favorite to go to the Knicks and then the Bulls.
No, he ain't coming back here.
Brooke Lopez, Rockets, 3-2. They're the favorite.
So if Brooke Lopez, here's Kelly Eco. If Brooke Lopez re-signed with Milwaukee, they pivot to guys like Clint Capella, Miles Turner, or Kristaps Porzingis. I wouldn't mind Capella coming back.
No.
That would be nice.
You know, frankly, I mean, Porzingis has talent. You just want, and I like Miles Turner, so.
Porzingis,
that's what I'm saying.
Hurt.
This is exciting to get some players who actually are going to be better players. You have to spend your money.
This organization, it's been the worst team over the last 3 years in basketball, and yet you're getting guys, your favorites for some of the best players that are on the free agent market. Well, you do have $47 million to spend, but it's not like they would go to Charlotte or Orlando or Detroit. They're going to come to Houston because Houston has a great name, and has a history here with basketball. Eco goes on to say they love Cam Johnson, but he's restricted. So is Austin Reeves. If the Nets and Lakers are bent on keeping Johnson and Reeves, they have other names in mind like Dylan Brooks, Josh Hart, and Kelly Oubre.
You know what, though? Who cares? Make them sign them. Make an offer to Reeves. They like Austin Reeves. Offer Reeves and make you know what? Put a little extra on it. Just like if you're in a fantasy football auction and you think somebody wants something, put a bid out there, make somebody go a little higher. You know what, Lakers? If you want Austin Reeves, you know, we like him. This is the max that we'll go. Make them match it. Make them match and take up some of their money. That's what I would do. Don't just, well, they'll just match anyway. Who cares? Make a match. Good. Make a match. We're putting an offer out there. Oh, you matched? Good.
Good.
Well now he's against your cap. You got him. Congratulations. And we'll pivot to someone else. This is wild
Squeeze
to
him.
Me. This is wild to me. Russell Westbrook, his next team, Rockets are 10-1, Charlotte 12-1, Oklahoma City 12-1, Brooklyn Nets 14-1, Guangdong Tigers are 14-1, Shanghai Sharks are 25-1, Pacers are 30-1. They've got odds that Russell Westbrook has a better chance of going to Shanghai than Detroit.
I would put money on that. That's a bet. That's a good bet, right?
He
there.
Seems like one. But also D'Angelo Russell is also Guangdong Tigers 18-1. He's not going to end up over there. Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
See.
Yeah.
Because NBA teams are going to be like, "What are we doing with Russell Westbrook? He's a net negative for us. We're not doing it." Everyone can talk about his stats. Everyone can talk about. Did you see what happened though when he had to take over the team and he was so much better? Russell Westbrook has no impact on winning anymore. None. This would be great for him to go get a ton of stats. I think they would love Russell Westbrook abroad.
Yeah.
I think Russell Westbrook would be the kind of high-flying American player who scores a bunch of points that they would absolutely love. He's always out there. He doesn't take days off. You know, he hustles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks' next team. Rockets are 9-1. So we're a little ways down the list. Al Horford, Houston's 8-1 on Al Horford. Atlanta's the favorite at 2-1. Kyrie Irving, luckily, Houston's not even on this list, which I love. And James Harden, Houston's a favorite at 1-1. Philadelphia 7-5. This is interesting because Houston's going to spend money. They're now 100-1 in the odds. Detroit 400-1. Charlotte 300-1. Washington 200-1. Orlando 150-1. Utah Jazz 125-1. Chicago Bulls 125-1. And the Houston Rockets 100-1. And that's with an entire list of teams. I mean, the favorite next year is obviously going to be Denver to win it all. But I just found it interesting that Houston is up the charts because
everyone understands they're
going to get better simply through spending money.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The Rockets are going to be a better team this year. There's no question about that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who they land. You get your wishes and your wants. You see which one fills up first.
So you got two first-round picks. I'm with you. One of them's got to get dealt. And I honestly, maybe it is the fourth pick. maybe you package four.
Well, you don't need the 20th
four
either.
And a player.
You need another Garuba or Christopher or no. You don't need that.
No, but you can stash those guys.
Well, what are you going to yeah.
draft and stash well, overseas, just like Moore used to do all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, other people may not want your 20th pick either.
For, I mean, what do you want for? I mean, honestly, as opposed to just paying that guy $1 million,
well,
there's, 1.2.
But there's plenty of players who come from areas of the draft that are not the top five that end up being good players. Like, it's not, you know, we just watch one right now in Jokic. It's so funny. Did you see the, when he was drafted, there was a McDonald's commercial going on. It just said, Nuggets select in Nikola Jokic. And I think it was Schefter said, I'll never forget where I was. It was Taco Bell, yeah. A Taco Bell commercial. And it just says, Nuggets draft Nikola Jokic. And no one paid
That's
any attention
fanfare.
To it.
Well, here's the deal, though. If he comes in and says, listen, I love horse racing. I really, as soon as this is over, I don't even want to go to a parade. I just want to go home. I don't, you know
it's
what,
Baskin, that
it's
that
not the,
draft.
He even said in the post game press conference, it's really not the most important thing in the world, this whole basketball championship thing. It's nice. It's my job, though.
Yeah, so.
So, that, if you, how many teams have drafted a guy that says this in your interview?
No, my son Mason said, does he hate basketball? I'm like, no. He plays like he loves basketball. He goes, did you hear what he said? And I hadn't heard it. And it was a puzzle. It was a curious thing to say. Everyone has a job. Show me a job. No one likes their job. Like, what?
Now, do you think that's how his personality, like he's trying to be joking, like, but it's dry humor?
Yeah. I guess that's what it is.
Well, but
so I didn't get to actually hear it. I only
honestly, I don't know that he. It's, you know, we won. That's great. Let's hear this soundbite. Okay. Tell me that he's like. I mean, this is the least interested in a championship guy that ever just won.
That's not true.
That I've ever seen. Honestly,
well, let's hear.
Here is Nikola Jokic. This was just a couple of days ago. You might have heard this already, but honestly, when I heard this, I'm like, really? I love it. I honestly love it, but I can't believe that we heard a champion talking, especially the MVP, saying stuff that he said. Here he is.
You know, nobody likes his job, or maybe they do. They're lying.
Well, but he goes... RJ,
nobody likes his job.
I mean, he went on to say, you know, it's not the most important thing
do
in the
like
world.
Do you like your job?
It's really not the most... I love my job.
Are you lying?
No.
Nikola Jokic just called
told
you
a me liar. Right.
He just called you a liar.
You know, I wish he'd pay me and I didn't have to do it, but yeah. but you know what? They're not. They're not paying me to not do it. No, he went on to say, you know, it's not the most important thing in the world. I want to just go back home. That's what I want to do. I want to go watch my horse racing. I want to.
As long as you come in shape and you play well.
Who cares?
And win.
Who cares? But is there a reason that he lasted until he did in the draft?
Well, it's because international players were drafted later. And he was a guy who was, did you see him when he came into when he was younger? He was not like, he doesn't look the part necessarily.
No.
You know, big. Big center who, like, we've seen guys who look like him that are international players. They're fine. You know, they're nothing special. They're usually late first round to early second round guys. They're usually drafted by the Spurs. He was not drafted by the Spurs.
No, yeah. No. Hell, it was a hell of a draft pick by the Nuggets, that's for sure. And maybe you're right. You know, you got to go through that process of finding, oh, wow, this guy is really, well, I mean, there were plenty of guys who were drafted 17, 18, 20. Manu Ginobili was the last pick of the draft and turned out to be a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, you can find a guy, but more likely that 20th pick ain't making it in the NBA.
Well, you know, but you can still draft that and maybe use four. Four you're probably drafting. 20 you might try to package. And, you know, you may try to package 20. And maybe it's something you do to package 20 and a player for – you know, backup depth, maybe you want out of the 20th contract. That may be something you want. Because like you said, you got plenty of young players. But Josh Christopher, one of the first things Udoka's going to have, Garuba, Udoka, Kenyon Martin Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Shingun. He's got to take all these young players and he's got to find out who loves ball. Who's going to play hard? Who's going to do what I ask? Who's going to make the effort? He's going to basically say everything that I learned under Greg Popovich, everything that I developed with the Celtics. Who here is going to get on board? Who's a fraud? Who is who is untapped potential. He's got to figure out those guys. And if he thinks, you know, Josh Christopher's a guy who has talent, but it's funny that he found himself on the other side, on the wrong side of playing time at times.
Oh, yeah.
The G League. And I wonder if there's something going on with Josh Christopher where maybe the organization doesn't, you know, love everything about Josh Christopher. I don't know.
Is there anything to really – I don't know. Time for you to talk about health and QC Kinetics, getting healthy.
Yeah, QC Kinetics is fantastic because what they're able to do for you is make sure that you are able to get back to that active life. Maybe you're a golfer, for example, and you've had a shoulder issue or a knee issue, and it's just chronic pain, and you put your Icy Hot on, you put the knee sleeve on, you do everything you can to add stability, but you still have that same pain. With QC Kinetics, if you have joint pain, one of the things they do is they attack the joint pain with the body's healing power. They take it, they kind of supercharge it, for lack of a better word, and then they put it back into the joint, and it begins to repair and restore damaged tissue. Damaged tissue is what causes that chronic pain. And when you are restoring that, the damaged tissue and regenerating tissue that has been worn away, that's when you begin to see better mobility. You can begin to see less pain in the joint. And it really can have an impact on, A, just your quality of life of not being, you know, being pain-free on a day-to-day basis, but also being able to get back to being active and mobile and living your life. And there's another – out in Cypress, they have added another location. So there's four locations around the city of Houston now. Make sure that you go to the website to find a location nearest you and find out more about QC Kinetics. It's QCKinetics.com.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Clubs at Houston Oaks, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. We are at Houston Oaks. Spencer's subdued today. Here's John and Lance. Well, actually, it's me and Mark Button from the Texas Golf Association. That's right, Art. We're talking golf. That's right. We got a segment here to talk about the Texas Golf Association. We are here live where they are going to have the Texas State Amateur, and it's run by the Texas Golf Association, just a great association. I've known Mark for a lot of years. He worked with Houston Lynx and now is with the Texas Golf Association. What is the Texas Golf Association?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for having me. We're really excited you guys are here. Thanks for being here. This really elevates this event. The TGA, people ask me that all the time when I'm playing golf. I think the best way to think about it is we are the USGA affiliate in Texas. We run all the USGA qualifiers for their 13 or 14 national championships. We're the governing body for amateur golf in Texas. We're the only entity that's licensed to distribute USGA handicaps. So if you have a Gen USGA handicap, you're a TGA member.
Oh, really? I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't even realize they're TGA members. There's a couple different ways to become a member. You could sign up online, like an internet club. You could join at your local Muni or Daily Fee course that you play. You can join through there. But if you were to join Houston Oaks today, say, I'm going to plunk down my initiation. I probably have it in my wallet right here. Couldn't be too much. You become a member of Houston Oaks. Houston Oaks is a TGA member club. So by virtue of your membership in the club, you're also a TGA member.
Cool.
So we have about 160,000 members across the state now.
And you run events like this one weekend, but do a lot more too. Let's talk about kids getting involved in golf and what you guys are doing there.
Absolutely, yeah. One of our big initiatives over the last few years is called Youth on Course. This was started out of Northern California, and it's really spread across the country, and we've been hitting it really hard in Texas. There's now over 70 courses that participate. What the program is we're allowing junior golfers from ages 6 to 18 to play golf at participating Youth on Course facilities for $5 or less. So how that works is, the parent signs up the kid. You can go to txga.org, and under our foundation tab, there's a link for Youth on Course. You become a member. You find out what the participating clubs are. You go there. You pay the $5, and the TGA picks up the bill for the rest. We subsidize whatever that difference is between what that green fee would be and $5.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, are we seeing a big influx of, you know, well, less fortunate people that don't have nearly as much money to start starting in golf?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of why it was designed.
Yeah.
We're just trying. I mean, that's what the TGA. We want more people playing more golf. We want to give people more access to golf, and you know, daily fee muni type courses are a real easy entry point for just about everybody. I play a lot of munis. I'm a muni golfer. I was looking here. There's 70 courses now in Texas in the Youth on Course Network, and some of the ones that you would be familiar with around Houston: Herman Park, Eagle Point out in Mont Belvieu, a really good course, Quail Valley, Pearland Golf Course, and we're adding more and more every day. Kelly Kilgo is our managing director of foundations, and she and her team are working really hard to sign up more clubs. And I mean, this is one of the great missions of the TGA, try to get more people on the golf course to enjoy the game.
Absolutely. TXGA.org. If you want your kid to play, $5.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, oh, what an elitist sport. No, $5. Okay. You got $5. You can go and play. What about getting them clubs? How? What are we doing about that?
That's a great question. I don't know that that's part of the program.
No, but
it's a really good idea.
Yeah, no. We need to be able to they could have access to clubs at the golf courses too, right?
Yeah.
Kids.
I think the first tee programs across the state do a good job, and I'm actually glad you brought that up, because if you're a golfer like I am, I'm going to be 52 next month, been playing a long time. I have more than one set of irons. I've got two irons just in my garage that I've outgrown or moved on from. If you're the same, if you're listening and you don't know what to do with those, go donate those to the first tee. That's a great way to get involved, to grow the game and help. If you're not using some of your equipment, golf balls, golf clubs, donate them to your local first tee chapters, and they'll get them in the hands of those kids.
Anything else that the TGA does that we need to know about?
You know, we're working on something called Project Muni. And this one's near and dear to my heart because I play a lot of Muni golf. I'm a regular over Memorial and Gus and Herman.
Gus, by the way, is awesome if you haven't played it.
It's so good.
Yeah, Steve Timms did. They did a wonderful job.
Like country club quality greens.
Yeah.
Really good. So what Project Muni is, and this is just a pilot program we're starting this year. I talked about the TGA member clubs. We have 580 total member clubs across the state. The ones that are municipal venues can apply for a grant through the TGA, through us. They can sign up online. And then we'll facilitate someone from the USGA to come consult them on their agronomy. It's an agronomy-based program trying to help municipal courses figure out ways to use their maintenance budget in smarter ways to help better condition the golf course. We've invested $75,000 in Project Muni this year. Our plans are $125,000 next year, just trying to help municipal courses become better facilities so people can enjoy the game more.
Absolutely. No, that is all. Hey, there's some good munis out there.
Oh, yeah.
Really good munis. And, yeah, you guys helping them make it a better course is awesome. That is awesome. That is great stuff. Mark, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for having us out here. This is great stuff. We really, really appreciate being here. The place is beautiful.
Yeah.
What Houston Oaks is doing here is just fabulous.
You're going to get to tee it up in a little bit?
I am. I'm going to play with Charlie today.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, Lance is going to play. Nice. They've actually got a Frisbee golf course out here.
I heard that.
And,
what a draw.
And a soccer course out here. Soccer golf
Foot
course.
Golf or something? All
yeah,
right.
so soccer golf course out
Whatever
here.
Whatever it takes to get people to the golf course.
That's
I'm,
it.
I'm
That's
for it.
It. Man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us,
Thanks
Mark.
For being here. You
Mark
guys keep up the great work.
With us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get out here, you are more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
One wrong twist of your steering wheel and that'll be the end of you.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.